Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Central Stadium, an iconic sporting venue. As part of a major fundraising drive, My Stadium Seat is offering you the chance to place your name or the name of someone who loves GAA on a seat at the Field of Legends. Packages from €100 include seat naming plaques, certs of authenticity, online biographies, and open day tickets. Show your support. Visit mystadiumseat.com. Central Stadium, where every name matters.
Today I'm your host Kevin Ryan, and I'm joined by Paddy Stapleton for a one-on-one interview. Paddy, just going to go straight into today. I see you're a very decorated hurler. You won some North titles. You know, as far back as 2005, when you were just a nipper. Going into Tipperary, then double All Ireland champion, Munster Senior Championship. You've six of them. You know, you've picked up National Leagues, Waterford Crystal Cups, all that. Of course, with Barstalead, and probably even alongside your North titles, you have a coveted Tipperary senior title from 2019 and also the famous Munster Championship there. If I lined up all your medals on the mantelpiece there and you could only choose one, what one would you go for? What's the absolute highlight of your career, do you think? And maybe it's not a medal at all.
No. Well, look, if we're talking about medals, it'd have to be very difficult to pick them apart, but it would be either the county or the Munster final with Bursley. It's just a completely different thing in life. I actually feel so lucky to be part of that, because I went a long time where we couldn't get anywhere. And just the difference made to people's lives that I know them all personally. You know, everyone that was on the field, I know them after the match. And the togetherness then, you meet them afterwards in the pub, wherever it is, in the shop the next day, and it just gives people just such a lift. But it's just something bringing the pride to your very, very local area. And they certainly were just unbelievable days. But that wouldn't put down Jesus, the 2010 All-Ireland. You know, that I'm lucky to be able to call on all them times, like, because we were going. I remember that the recession was hitting hard in Ireland at the time. Some people won't remember that. And Kilkenny were going for five in a row. So there was two fairly depressing things for people outside Kilkenny, I suppose. And to stop it when nobody really, like, we were really, even though we pushed them so hard in 09, 10 at the end of the day was supposed to be their crowning as the best team ever, whether they are it or not, it's up to other people. But, bear ourselves, I'm sure Tipperary people a lot of them felt we had a chance. I heard one pundit, fairness to Don Logue, I heard him on the radio say he was back in Tip. Like, that was huge, massive win. Like, that for me as well, I'd won very little with the club. I'd won a couple of Munsters underage with Tip, which was great. But that was just such a culmination. And even getting on the Tip team for me was like absolutely massive. Like I wasn't a coveted underage hurler with Tipperary by any stretch of the imagination. I only started talking
about that, maybe your tip career from, you got the call by Babs in 2006, I think it is. So you said you weren't coveted, but you had a Munster minor medal all the same.
Yeah, well, look, the big thing is, until minor, you wouldn't have heard of me playing for Tipperary. I started off, you know, if you go back, under 14, didn't get a trial, under 15, off the end of the panel, under 16, was coming on, if we were out of tournament, I might get a start then. And then 17, I was on the development squad, didn't get a trial for the minors, and 18, you're playing corner and centre-back for the Tip minors. So, like, I always bring it up to kids who mightn't be making it here, then and there, or they might be smaller, or they might have developed physically, or whatever it is. It's really about the long game, and you know, you need luck as well. But if you stay in there, stay improving, like, you really can make it. So, honest to God, the year before I played minor with Tip, I'd say the selectors barely knew who I was. You know, let alone
what was it like then for, you know, a young lad, maybe 18, 19, going into a setup like that? That would have been Babs's second year, first year 2006, would it?
06 was his first year, yeah.
So going in, maybe your big personalities, Brendan Cummins, Owen Kelly would have been there, for, you know, a good nice few years older than.
Yeah, older John Carroll, Liam Corcoran. There was Philip Maher, but the whole thing for me that stage was I got on that off the back of playing one challenge match for the under 21s against Waterford seniors. I hadn't trained for 3-4 months. Was thrown in, we were our last year under 21, so it was our first game of the year. Like, we were fairly slaughtered by Waterford, but I happened to be marking Paul Finn that day, and he actually scored a little bit, but I was fairly quick, and I seemed to get on every ball, just every ball in that challenge match, or winter 05 nearly, or winter 06. And just they called me in because I suppose they were looking for players. Babs was looking for players, things weren't going well. But look, I was called in, I was grossly unfit. And I was let go fairly soon. I was brought in and out then for a year or two. But it gave me the belief and hunger to say, right, next time you get in there now, you're not letting it go and you're good enough. But then I had to go to the club and say, start putting in good performances for the club. And we won in our final in 05, won in our final in 07, and I played centre-back in 07 on that team. And I wasn't, you know, I was still inexperienced, so I did well on those teams. And it was just by, again, keeping in the race, keeping my focus, making sure I was training hard, making sure that, you know, if anyone was there at the Bursley match, I was, you know, I was doing my stuff and I was fit and, you know, I was trying to stand out as one of the best players on the team. And, you know, obviously Bursley winning as well was a bonus with it. So, yeah, the way it was a struggle. It sounds grand, you're in with the 20s, but I could have been easily gone again and never seen again when I was 20. So, and then, like, you know, I played with the 21s in 06, got to the All-Ireland, a puck of the ball from beating probably one of the best under-21 teams ever. And, you know, there was lots of lads brought in off that panel by Babs the year after, and I wasn't. I was one of the lads not brought in. So, again, you get another kick up the backside, but you dust yourself down and you say, right, I was living in Dublin at the time, and I said, right, I have a club. I'll be up and down, and I don't think I barely missed a training session for Bursley that year, either on Tuesday, Friday or Sunday, drove up and down, and just had to focus. Just I had a serious, serious burning desire to do well for Boris, but massive desire to play for Tipperary. And of course, it coincided, you know, when I really got in properly, coincided with Liam Sheedy being brought in as tip manager. And I suppose that's the first part of luck I probably did get, you know.
And that's it, I suppose. You're talking late 2007 there now. And that's, I suppose, how you came to be part of one of the marquee Tipperary teams in recent years. Just want to talk maybe about the differences between, you know, kind of being on the edge of the Babs setup maybe and actually becoming a mainstay under Liam Sheedy and a very important cog in the wheel for the, you know, team that would ultimately win 2010.
Yeah, sure. Look, Babs, as I was in there for a few months, and looking for me, you know, when you're a young lad training, you don't know is it good training, bad training. And I think if you're looking into it too much as a young lad, I think if you're heading the wrong space, if you're trying to improve yourself first and foremost.
You're just selfish, is it? You just want to
I think you don't know. Like, you actually don't have a clue what good training is when you're 19 or 20. I think maybe they know more now, but I didn't back then. Personally, I hadn't a clue. But you know, I felt like nearly a supporter at times when I was that age. But when I got back in properly again, then I felt like I was ready to go. But it was such a it was such a different life for me, because I was when I really got in there properly, I was 21-ish, 22. And I was a grown adult now. I had my weekends. I had my routines. I liked to go out and socialise, all this. And then when you're Brian McLean, it was still good fun, but it was dogging and training, and everything had to be right. You had to have the right gear for training. Really professional setup. Diet was right. Get your injuries sorted. Be there an hour before training. That was just completely alien to me.
Yeah, and I suppose alien to most lads at the time as well, because you're talking, you know, maybe just after the Celtic Tiger, or maybe lads are more au fait with that kind of setup. They're getting your stretching all done. But like, it struck me, I read an article by Liam Sheedy there, who's discussing the All-Ireland final, and he said like he missed out on getting Pat Short in 2009, you know, for a bit of comic relief, and he made sure he went back and got him in 2010. And it was such a fine attention to detail. Just talk us through, I suppose, that day in 2010, what you remember for it was, you know, I suppose, was there a feeling in the camp, you know, this is today is the day, like everything trying to perform, or?
Do you know what? I think there was a feeling that whatever happened, like Kilkenny would have to be just an unbelievable outfit on the day to beat us. Like I honestly could say you never know if you're going to win a match, but the energy inside the hotel that day, you know, to speak, and you know, you get the video montage, like there's just an energy that you feel it crawling off your skin. As we went to the bus that day, you know, you just knew there was going to be so much desire from 1 to 15. And to me, motivation is infinite. You know, if you say, geez, you couldn't be more upward, there's always another level. One player gets a percent or a half percent. There's always some edge that you can add to it. And that day, that's the way it felt to me. That Kenny had to come with something absolutely special, like, you know. And to be fair, like after winning four All-Irelands, they can't have the hunger that we have. They couldn't, because most of us had never won in All-Ireland. The likes of Cummins, Lair, Owen hadn't won one in 8 or 9 years. So they couldn't. And our game plan was nearly at its peak. Our players, you know, with such a great mix of age, desire, and we could run with it. That was another huge thing. That team was able to run with Kilkenny. And even though they were probably a bit bigger than us, we were physically able for him. And back down to Keane O'Neill as well at the time, who was revolutionary the way he taught us, and obviously the fitness element as well, but taught us a lot as well, where they're tackling and everything else. It just seemed to come to a pinnacle that day. And just, I suppose, we ran him down. They looked tired by the end of that match. And, you know, I think we were just coming right. And we just were able to run him down that day. And, of course, things go your way then. When you're able to work that hard, things went our way. And I think they did in the end.
You see that climbing the mountain, I suppose, in 2010, getting to the peak. We saw it maybe a couple of years later with Galway. Maybe the team or people said the Tip were going to dominate after 2010. We all know it didn't happen. They said it about Galway in 2017. Even this great Limerick team didn't follow up their initial All-Ireland kind of success by defending it. What do you think, I suppose, having been in the setup then in 2011, what were there any differences you noticed, or why do you think maybe the latter half of your Tipperary career you never really got back there to those heights, like as a team, or maybe didn't achieve what you could?
I think I could nearly go through year by year, but I think, you know, in terms of 11, you're after
far away,
a young team.
Far away.
Well, yeah, but 11, you had a young team, and they'd won in All-Ireland, lots of them 20, 21, 22, 23, after beating maybe the best team ever. So that's the sort of thing that's mentally hard to deal with. And then you have a changeover of the guy that brought you there. So you have Declan came in as manager, and Declan is one of the greatest Tipperary men ever, but it was a completely change around. And Liam Sheedy had 3 years of what is a performance for this team. And then Liam would have had his work cut out the year after, you know, the highs of what we went through. And of course, for management group that came in, it was extra hard. So to me, that was really, really difficult. And probably the All-Ireland final performance is maybe one of the most disappointing days of my life, just in terms of not giving yourself a chance. But even that year, we played the Munster final against Waterford, and, you know, they'd even say there was no opposition that day. And you come out and you hammer them. And if you're not on guard already, after the previous year, now you're after walking to a Munster final. Yeah,
this is easy. 7 goals, wasn't it? Or?
This is it. Brendan is missing as well. And you're wondering, you know, he was probably maybe the best player of the year before. Like, so there's so many mitigating factors in this, like, and, you know, excuses, whatever you want to call them, but there was a lot of stuff to unpack there and why performance levels probably weren't up to, and, you know, and if you just draw back on the players, probably not as hungry as the year before. That's, again, I don't care what anyone says, unless, you know, if you've just won something, it's very hard to be as hungry. That's why I think this Limerick team is great. They're a good bit ahead of everyone, and if I don't care what anyone says, they're not as motivated as other teams, but they're just physically better. They're physically able to run people down, and so they're very difficult to play against. So I think they're that much better than people over the last few years, even though it's maybe coming a bit closer now. Then the other years, like 12 was another year where I think it was, you know, the demise of what was happening with that setup. 13, like, Eamon's first year as a manager, went down to Nolan Park, could have turned them over that year. Very easily. Lara gets injured after a few minutes. Given half, last there, 2014 All Ireland final, one of the best finals ever. Easily could have won that match. In the second match, bad 10 minutes into the second half, and we kind of were doing chase, and then at that stage, we had lots of chances in both matches to win it. 15, I think Galway were a physical team, struggled a bit against them. And then 16, got back to the All Ireland again, and that was like, you know, if you go year by year, every team has their excuses, if you want to call them excuses, no problem. But yeah, I think a little bit unlucky, probably against very good teams. I'm not sure this Kilkenny team, sorry, this Limerick team has played teams as quality as we've played.
And maybe getting, yeah, at the same point in the journey. Just to, I suppose, just to talk a bit more about 2016 before we finish on the county career kind of segment. Is how would you rate that All-Ireland success? Like, I'm not going to ask you to pick a combined 15 or anything like that, but just like a few reflections on how, you know, your role, I suppose, in 2016 had changed maybe from, you know, a starter to a panel player. And like, you know, how did you still get the same buzz off that?
No, you wouldn't. Jeez, you wouldn't. I was very proud of being in the group and helping the group whatever way I could. Like, and I think that was a good thing to be. But look, in 15... I was riddled with injuries in 15. My two hips were, I didn't know at the time. Nobody knew at the time. I had impingements in both hips. So my grinds kept going. My back was going. Everything was bloody going. Even though I came in the All Ireland semi-final in 15 as a blood sub. But I got, it wasn't diagnosed, I suppose, soon enough. And it was nearly December when I got an operation on it. And I got two hip clean outs. So, you know, I really would have loved if I had got him maybe 3 months earlier. So by the time I came back, it was to running. So I was 12 weeks out. By the time I came back, and I was like, you know, my legs were like knitting needles because you're in the pool. It was maybe March or April or something like that, where league games have been played, panels have been formed. So I came back and I pulled my hamstring twice. So there was another month out. So really, like, I had very, very little chance in that year. To contribute what I wanted to.
And that's the end for a lot of players, though, isn't it, Paddy? Because you don't always get to pick. You obviously got the pick to go out with an All-Ireland medal, but, you know, you could be, you see players, TJ Reid probably an honourable exception who just seems to be timeless, but, you know, they don't always get to choose their ending and they kind of peter out rather than kind of go out on a high, maybe lifting a trophy.
Yeah, look, and it was a nice year to finish up with me. And you know what? I look at it recently and, you know, and in a lot of ways, I would love to have stayed on with Tip because I felt the operation was what I probably needed for a couple of years. And as you know, and I felt with Bursley afterwards, pace-wise and all that, the county guys weren't getting away from me, if you get me. So, but I do feel all in all, like, I left Tip that year and I was able to start a new journey with Bursley afterwards for the next 4 or 5 years, where if I was stay going with Tip, then, like, are you coming back, you know, a busted flush? Like, are you coming back and you're kind of just laying around the team? You're not able to give really high performances. And I was, you know, in the end, my proudest moments really, you know, are probably with Bursley after that.
Is that something you were aware of? Because I suppose when you go to any club match in Tipperary, as you'd expect, the first lads that are picked out, if they are on the field, are the county players. Or the former county player. So you seem like you're happy now that you've kind of given a few good years to the club, as they'd say. And obviously the Munster title would be kind of full recognition of that.
The way I looked at it, like my sole thing was like that Boris weren't going very well at the time. And because we had three lads in with tip.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Probably a good few, and we're quite a young panel. And I just saw it as a massive opportunity to go, like a project, you know, and I do like a project. Let's see with the books and everything else. I just saw it as an opportunity to go there and make a difference and try and improve our culture a little bit, improve our training, improve our attitude to what's going on. And that anybody could win, you know, club hurling, you get your nuts and bolts right. You have a little bit of talent, which we had, you know, we had a little bit of talent. We knew a little bit more was coming. So, yeah, we can do something here. And I really felt we had such a higher ceiling than where we were going. And, you know, it proved right. We got great management set up the same year I came back again. Another lucky break for me, management-wise. And we were able to just grab it and maybe push the setup. And to me, that was my sole thing. I wanted to catch that and push it as far as I could. I'm just sorry that in the last 2 or 3 years during lockdown, I probably pushed my body too hard to after the All-Ireland to get even fitter. And I hurt my calf, and that probably mightn't even still be right now. But for a year, it wasn't one bit right. And so for the last 2 or 3 years since the All-Ireland, I've found it really, really difficult. But I don't think you can be too greedy, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, you've another good 10 years left in you yet, I think. You said that there that you like a project, and I suppose it's not the typical project that you went for, maybe a post-retired inter-county player, but like a very interesting one on this. So by trade, I suppose you're an English and PE teacher. So you always obviously had a grow for the, I suppose, writing a bit, or and I suppose maybe a bit like that. But are you right in saying now this is your third or your second and your third children's book that you've published?
Yeah, that's it. I always liked English, and even, to be honest, movies, the element of literacy in movies and what goes with that, and reading, and but I was never actually like the biggest of writers. Like, you know, I found it nice when I was doing it for work and school and work and everything, but in fairness, my brother asked me to do an article or two when I finished up a tip. He was working at AIB at the time, and they were my first articles, and I really enjoyed writing them, like really enjoyed it. And then the garage and Shane Brophy in the garage and asked me to maybe come on board for a season or two, and I was writing about after every tip match or previewing tip matches. Again, I just find it's just, I don't know, something about it that's different. I like having time to think and then time to edit and time to perfect it, to my version of perfection anyway.
So Paddy, just to pivot to children's books, I suppose, then, from being able to being read or doing a bit of writing in your post-Tipperary playing days, how did that come about? I just say they're very well-illustrated books, and it shows that there is a bit of a love involved in making them.
Yeah. So just when I was younger, obviously struggled with school myself, and my mother started to buy me sports magazines and soccer magazines. So that was where I came from first, and that improved my English. So then got a bit of experience writing articles myself, sports articles. And just I had the thought, really, that it would be something interesting I could do, and that there wasn't too many GA ones around the place. And certainly not that club feel that I wanted to purvey. And then, like, it's grand that it's about GA, but also just about Irish kids, and about the resilience, you know, because I'd see in school there was an awful lot of kids who were suffering lots of anxiety issues, self-doubt, confidence. I thought, you know, it might be nice to write something. And the initial thought of up in the air was Fitzy, a character who, you know, was really interested, so, so interested, loved sport, but that he had a lot of doubts, a lot of crippling doubts, and that other people were better than him, and that he hadn't the skill, but he was working really hard to get through that, and that there was always a better superstar than him, and there was players that weren't trying as hard as him, and they were succeeding more than him. So that was a big kind of idea around, you know, the team that I was thinking about. And then just, you know, I felt like it's something I could do. I don't know how I felt it, and some people reading it mightn't think that, but I just felt it was something that I could achieve. And as I said, I liked writing already, but it was a huge journey then, you know. It was a huge self-doubt for myself, because every time you sit down to spend 2 or 3 hours at the laptop, you're saying, is this all time wasted? And could I be doing something better with my time? But to be honest, I was enjoying it. I was enjoying the process. I was learning loads. And just when I got to the end of it then...
You said, Paddy, you like a project. Had you in mind before you actually went to write up in the air, yes, I want to get this published, I want this on shelves all across the country, or were you just happy to actually do something that was maybe meant a bit personally to you?
No, my goal was, I think that all feels good as you go on your journey, but my ultimate goal was, this is going to be sold, like this is going to be in shops, this is going to be online, I have my own website.
Paddystapleton.ie to get the plug in there.
Yeah, there we go.
All three books are available on that.
Yeah, and that was it. And I didn't envisage going to a publisher. As I was writing it, I said, I don't know, is a publisher going to be, you know, because I go like not in depth, but it's very much rural centric, things that might happen in your little village centric, and just didn't know if it was appealing, and it was very dialect centric as well. That's how I like writing, is the conversations between people, not necessarily describing every nook and cranny, because that's the way I like to read stuff, is kind of the conversations between people and how that moves the story on. So I didn't know would publishers be into that, so I just stayed away from it. And I said to myself, like, during lockdown, I'd be a very good lad with money really a lot of the time, and I said, look, if I really want to do this, I'll spare up my own money, I'll make my own money, and then I'll push it out myself. And I knew one thing that a lot of writers wouldn't have would be access to the media. And fortunately, like I never did during my career, didn't do many interviews. But since leaving the tape panel, I've done, you know, lots of interviews, and I've got to know lots of journalists. And, you know, they've done me favors, I've done them favors in terms of last minute interviews, or, you know, if I'm needed, I'll make myself available. So I knew that I had that as well. And so I had access to more PR. So possibility of me needing a publisher wasn't as high as other people. So just like to go on my own journey. I'm maybe a bit of a dictator like that. I want to do it my way. And like what would kill me now is if I had a publisher or some sort of advisor and they told me change central parts of it and I changed them. And, you know, people didn't enjoy it. And I'd kill myself over that then. Whereas if it was all my decisions and people didn't like it, I could actually live with that. I could say, fine, they just didn't like your idea. But if it was watered down by somebody else and it was to the detriment of the book, that would just destroy me then.
Yeah, and then Muckfest and My First Hurley then, which I suppose the two new books out this Christmas. And again, well worth, great stocking filler, you'd say there. Do you think that's your scratch itch now in that regard, or is there more books to come?
There's always ideas, Kevin. I am the sort of person, like, I don't do stillness, if you get me. I should, you know, mindfulness, all that stuff. I'm not good at it. I said I struggled in school, but I think it's because I have a very, very active mind, too much of an active mind. And, like, I'd be thinking about ideas every day. Like, I probably have really, for a long-form book, like what Muckfest is and what the original is, I probably have 2 or 3 more ideas. Not that I might go through it, I might not. And for younger kids' books, I probably have 3 or 4 other ideas as well. So, like, I don't know. We'll see how it is. Like, we'll see how life goes. You know what I mean? And, like, the first one did very, very well. We'll see how the second one does. If there's a hunger for it, if I feel enthusiastic about it, if I want to go through the journey, because it is a grind. Especially when I'm writing, then I find the publishers, then I find the artists, the whole thing. It is a grind. But look, as I said, I do enjoy a grind. And like at the end of it, you get great satisfaction when you see how much people enjoy it.
You said you're a bit of a dictator. I think that's invented a good way now. I suppose you're playing away with Barcelona at the moment. I suppose in a GA thing, can you ever see yourself going into management? Is that one thing? Would you like to get involved in underage setup? Maybe you're not quite thought about that yet. Or where do you see yourself going kind of medium term?
Well, look, presently, I've trained Barcelona under 13s last year. And this current year, I trained the under 15s. And I really, really enjoy that. It's more like what I'm used to, an element of teaching like school. So PE teaching, PE coaching, and even in the classroom. Like it's really small little layers, trying to give them the new skills, help them build their skills as an overall player. And at the minute, I see that as a big body of work in Bursley. And I think obviously any club would see it, underage coaching. And I get a huge sense of satisfaction from doing that. And life to me is about taking on, as I said, little projects. And again, this is a little project for me. And I hope to at least be involved doing that for the next couple of years. I'm not sure about, I definitely wouldn't never say never. I'm very young in terms of coaching, but I just see people that go into clubs, certainly other clubs, and just say somebody hired me, I'm, you know, master of everything. So like I come in and manager, I come in backs coach, forwards coach, S&C, you could do logistics. You're probably involved in the stats. I just see that that's an absolute time vacuum. And I, you know, as I said, it took a lot for me to make any tip panels. I wasn't hugely talented. So I had to spend a lot of time thinking about how do I be a better player? How do I mark this person? How do I make a difference in this setup? How do I be a better leader? And, you know, that's a lot of my life. I was doing that, as I said. 03 is when I was playing minor and when I started playing for Bursley. So that's nearly, you know, that's about 20 seasons of it. And I don't know, the hunger right now isn't for going in and taking another team and trying to drag the attitude, drag everything. And that'd be the big thing for me, going into a place and, you know, attitude was my best ability as a player. Nothing physical, but attitude was. And, you know, I suppose I think maybe I'd find it easier underage to instill the attitude and still a training attitude and get satisfaction at the moment. Now, never say never. If you're with the right people, the right club, you would think about it. But right now, it's just not something... I just wouldn't see myself as being overly happy doing it. You know, and three times a week, going away there, you're gone for the evening or you're gone for the Sunday. And all the ringing players, ringing fellow management, club members in between. I actually think it's such a huge job of work. And you know what? Most clubs now are splitting it. There's a manager, coach, and S&C. So we'll see in the future. But yeah, at the minute,
It's actually funny. I was talking to a former inter-county manager there and he said, it's actually a full-time job there now. You know, that the profile of it, this is, you know, not a high-profile county. But when he said it out there, the club game is going the same way.
Yep. They're just taking little bits from the county setup and bringing them back with them, and they're seeing what's manageable. But then every year they're layering it. So eventually you get to that level. And, you know, when I started with tip, club level now wouldn't be far off. Probably there's more S&C now, more gym work now than there was when I started with tip, I'd say. And that's just the way it's going. And stuff like that, I don't think is too much of a problem. It's very healthy, but just so much communication in between. Like if you're that manager, if you're that one person that's supposed to be over everything, I think it's just your head would be, you know, absolutely fried. And then you have people who are obsessed and they want to do it well. This is okay for people who like to turn up to the training and same drills over and over and get a team out to the pitch. But modern age, anyone taking a team is probably takes it so serious. So don't worry, I have a couple of friends involved with teams and at the minute it doesn't look overly attractive.
That's enough. Just before we finish up, Paddy, you mentioned, I suppose, Limerick are probably at their peak now, or we all hope they're at their peak, certainly, I suppose, for all the other competing counties. There doesn't appear to be a Tipperary 2008, 2009 on the horizon, a ready-made challenger. You know, Cork have kind of come and go. Kilkenny, you know, got close maybe in an All-Ireland final, but, you know, Brian Cody, after the parted now, you'd wonder what that'll do to them. What are your expectations, I suppose, for a year ahead, maybe, particularly looking at Tip? Would you be kind of confident maybe that there'd be a nice bit of improvement, or do you think we've got a few years to go yet?
No, I think there could be improvement. I really do think there could be improvement. I think there's the six or seven very, very good players. I think game plan wise, you have two guys coming into the setup. Liam Cahill and Mikey Beavens, if you're talking about the two head honchos, they know what way they like hurling played. They played with the 20s and they played with Water seniors, fairly similar stuff. Hard running, smart movement, empty out inside, leave a couple in there, ball to man the right position. And you'd hope that, you know, and each team they have seems to be quite fit, you know, have a lot of endurance. Now, look, things didn't end well with Waterford, but I think they'll be able to get a kick out of lads. They know them already. They know their strengths, weaknesses. I think the players know what they'll get with the management. And the ears will be to the ground, I'm sure, with the management in terms of how players are doing. I think the fitness will be much improved. They've Angelo Walsh gone in there this year. I know him for years. Angelo's from my own club, played with him. And when he coached us, you could say we were definitely one of the fittest teams in Ireland, club level. If you watched the Munster final, that a lot of teams would say we were lucky to win that Munster final. If you looked at that last 10 minutes of the Munster final, there was really only one team in it. And we ran down that Ballygunner team. And we were no freaks, as we've seen since. You know, we haven't performed brilliantly. So we're no freaks. So I think they have a very good setup in there. They have some core players who haven't probably been playing at potential, but really can. And the only downside is the missing players from last year. Obviously, Dylan Cork, that's very, very tragic. But you know, Barry Heffernan hopefully will come back. Craig Morgan, again, another cruciate. You'd hope they come back. But it might be mid-championship. And as I said earlier, it's difficult to come back mid-championship. But I would hope that there's players there that can put their hand up, you know, and play that, get that little bit more out next year. And if you look at it, Limerick beat a Kilkenny team that barely beat a Kilkenny team that, to me, you know, aren't absolutely fantastic. Galway team are good, but again, not out of this world. And they went extra time with Clare, who I think are very good, but burned themselves out. But, you know, not world beaters either. So I think if we get our house in order, we should be up with most of the teams. But it's all to be seen, really, isn't it?
You know, the way you're describing it there now, it's kind of whetting the appetite a bit after, you know, for another round robin, I think, in Munster. You know, there's definitely no hiding place. So hopefully, you know, for 23 and beyond, there's brighter things in prospect for maybe Barsley and Tipperary. Paddy, it's been an absolute pleasure. PaddyStapleton.ie, ideal Christmas present, I think, the three books, that's probably your best bet. Any bookshops locally that they're in?
They're in Tipperary now, obviously the Premier View. So they are in Tipperary in nearly all, you know, good bookshops from Nina down to Clonmel. You should be able to find them. Certainly if you go onto my social media pages, our website, you'll definitely be able to find them.
Lovely stuff, and I'd really recommend them there as well. Good stories and very well illustrated as well. So Paddy, fair play. Can't wait to see what your next project is. We'll all be waiting with bated breath. Thanks a million.
Cheers, Kevin.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
and United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.